It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, here on the Talk Station. And Cecil is with us here today. Wes is out.
He is. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. What are we talking about today?
Ben, let's talk today about some of the questions, the top 10 questions that we get at our office concerning the last will and testament.
Everybody likes a list, so this is good.
They do. And so these are the top 10 will questions, if you will, Ben. Right off the bat, Ben, one of the most common questions is, what do I do about my personal things?
Mm-hmm.
I have a particular antique chest of drawers mm-hmm. that I want to go to a particular child. What do I say about my jewelry?
Mm-hmm.
What do I say about my guns, my boats,
our decoy collection,
my fishing
here.
Collection,
yeah.
decoy collection. Yeah. And, it's interesting because historically, Ben, most clients remember that the will would specifically address some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do see wills from, you know, 30 years ago, if you will, where grandmama actually says, you know, my pearl necklace to mm-hmm. such and such, my diamond ring, my this china, that china to a particular person, all drafted out in the will. This is not really the contemporary way in which we handle
mm-hmm.
this provision in the will. What we do is we mention in the will that I will have or may have a personal memorandum
mm-hmm.
relative to my tangible personal things.
Mm-hmm.
And I direct that my executor review this personal memorandum and, to the best of their ability, follow it.
Okay.
Now, so
yep. let me ask you about
sure.
that. Does that personal memorandum carry a legal status, or is it all involved in the duties of the executor at that time?
No, it carries legal status. Mm-hmm. After all, as I just mentioned, mm-hmm. the will mentions that there will be a personal memorandum. We recommend that it then be written in the handwriting of mom and dad.
Gotcha.
Now, this is not going to be something that's going to enumerate, you know, Ben, down to, you know, the Tupperware in
right.
the cupboard in the kitchen. I mean, this is really, you know, if you will, today's the top 10 will questions. You know, these are the top 10 personal belongings
right.
that someone owns.
Mm-hmm.
Something very, very special that they particularly want to enumerate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the clients say back to this, they say, well, my children will just divide everything up as best they can.
Mm-hmm.
One will take this, one will take that. I don't really feel that I need to do that.
Right.
So, you know, some of the feminine things like the jewelry, you know, will go to the daughters, you know, the decoys, if you will, the
mm-hmm.
fishing, the hunting will go to the son. You know, this is logical. But the question that comes to the table for the lawyer many, many times is, what do I do with my touch and feel tangible items? How do I address these things in my last will and testament?
Now, as you said, very important that it's recommended that you do it in handwriting. Can you change that from time to time?
Well, that bodes towards why this recommendation is made. I mean, Ben, as we get older and older, a lot of folks, and our listeners are going to relate to this, is that people begin to give their things away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a very common thing, that as mom just gets older and older and older and really doesn't want to put on, you know, her diamond engagement ring, she goes ahead and gives it to daughter.
Right.
Or things are purged and cleaned and organized throughout the house. Maybe there's a move, even,
mm-hmm.
if you will, out of the family house into more of a retirement community living.
Right.
And so things are already dispersed, if you will, to the children while the elder parent is getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the reasons why you don't want to enumerate these things in the will, because they may not be there.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that our mother, dad, grandmother, granddad die, because the asset at that point has already been given to the child.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Top 10 list of things of will questions for today. So what's next?
Next, Ben, is the question, Cecil, how often should I update my will?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to this, or have my will looked at by my lawyer? or, you know, we got it done, you know, 10 years ago. It's in some filing cabinet somewhere. When should I take it out, dust it off, and have you lawyers review the document again? And the answer to that question is about every 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would not wait as long as 10 years, 5 to 7. If you do it every 5 years, more than likely, your lawyer is going to pass on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And say that things are generally okay. It is astonishing, when we do this process with clients,
mm-hmm.
and they realize that the contingent executor,
mm-hmm.
you know, is John Doe.
Right.
Oh my goodness. John can't do that. John has, you know, is no longer living.
Mm-hmm.
John moved to wherever. John had cancer about 3 years ago and isn't with us anymore. You know, the contingency provisions
mm-hmm.
are sometimes particularly the things that we update.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because if we lose a child,
mm-hmm.
less, you know, a tragedy such as that, or a child gets married, or a child goes through a divorce, or we go through a divorce,
right.
then these are the quote big happenings of life that are the exception to the rule as to 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if any large thing in your life occurs such
you
as that, then you're
going
to have to come on in and look at your will when that event
mm-hmm.
happens, and the event is going to drive the fact that we need to now update the will.
I would imagine the thing that happens a lot is that somebody is named in the will that either has already passed on or maybe doesn't have an interest in it any longer, or you want to change that. So.
Well, that's correct. And one of the other points that we're going to get to down the list is just is this idea of, you know, the contingencies. That's
mm-hmm.
where 9 times out of 10 the beef is. Now, since we're there, let's just go ahead and talk about that.
All right.
Do I as a lawyer mean by contingencies? Because that's a big word.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, just last week, a son is here. His dear mother living in Moorhead.
Mm-hmm.
He lives, of course, you know, across the whole country in a whole different state. He brings in her will, and of course, as one expects, everything to my son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I asked the son, who's, you know, about my age, do you have any children? No, I never had any children. I don't have any children. So, of course,
mm-hmm.
his mother has no grandchildren. So the will has no contingency.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever. You know, what is going to happen if that son flying back and forth across the country to see
right.
his mother through her elder years,
mm-hmm.
What if anything happens to her? I mean, to him, excuse me.
Right.
You know, there have to be well thought out contingencies in a will.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really where the professionalism comes into play and the competence of a good lawyer. This is where you're not going to get that kind of competence, if you will, off an internet document
mm-hmm.
or something that we just craft at our kitchen table and we write out, you know, our will, a holographic will. When I mentioned to the son that there was no contingency over him, and then he brought his mother in, they, of course, were just shocked. They just simply had not thought about the
right.
fact that we need to name a contingency to the son.
Well, of course, if he's a single person, he may not have if he has a will, you know, who's he named? So.
Well, that's right. Exactly. But first of all, we've got to get mother's assets to him. And he absolutely then needs to do his estate planning. So we, you know, and when you go into these discussions, there always is a contingency.
Right, right.
We find them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're talking about top 10 will questions. We'll have more to come in just a moment here on Coastal Daybreak. And Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And we'll be back with you in just a minute. And we're back with Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, online at harvellandcollins.com. We're talking about top 10 will questions.
We are. And Ben, we were discussing the contingencies that
mm-hmm.
exist in a well-drafted will.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to having good contingencies relative to beneficiaries,
Right.
And when I say contingencies to beneficiaries, like in this file where the son really had no children, keep in mind that we can do percentages at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It might well be that there is, you know, still living an uncle, mm-hmm. if you will.
Right.
And his children, who would be nieces, nephews, there's the church, there's the charities.
Mm-hmm.
And then at this point, the client might well say, well, let's leave a third to my family. I'm not that close with this uncle or aunt. They live mm-hmm. out in Colorado, but they're family. And a third to the church and a third to the Humane Society.
Right.
Okay. So many times the contingencies can be enumerated in a percentage. Now, another place in the will where you're going to find a contingency is the appointment of the executor,
mm-hmm.
because clearly you're going to appoint an executor, and then it's very important that there then be a contingency, a backup,
mm-hmm.
just as this will that I just reviewed for this mother. She said, I appoint my son
mm-hmm.
to handle all of my affairs.
Right.
But the son, all roads led to that son.
Sure. Yeah.
And all the issues of the will were no contingencies.
Mm.
So we've got to have some backups in these documents. And again, that's something very much that a lawyer, a good lawyer, is going to think about.
Mm. So again, contingencies are important,
right.
No matter how you shake that out. So what's next on
the list? Okay. The next question that we receive, Ben, is that, you know, I have a particular account
mm-hmm.
with Bernstein or Smith and Barney or mm-hmm. Edward D. Jones or A.G. Edwards. And I want this account mm-hmm. to go to this particular child.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Or I have a CD at, you know, a particular bank
mm-hmm.
and I want this CD to go to this child. Getting very specific with regard to financial accounts. Now, Ben, this is a real problem because these account numbers do not remain the same. These institutions are constantly changing their name.
Merging. Yeah.
Merging.
Right.
We have a tendency as we get older to either consolidate the account in some way
right.
or use it in some other way through an emergency, and that account does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
So where we guide clients, the place that a good lawyer is going to guide the client is toward, and this is shocking to many clients, that their will does not particularly address their account,
mm-hmm. their stockholdings,
their stock holdings,
right.
their particular stock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You just simply divide it, you know, however they are intending to distribute
mm-hmm.
it. Mm-hmm. If three children, a third, a third, and a third.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two children, 50-50. Or maybe they're leaving things to, you know, in a different percentage, which
right.
is fine. But you do not have to specifically designate in your will your particular stocks, your particular holdings, because again, these things are changing.
Okay. Well, what about it? I would imagine there might be an exception for real property.
Well, before we go to real property, I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, I have a file in the office right now where the client was a retiree of Exxon
mm-hmm.
and the estate is, you know, loaded up with Exxon
mm-hmm. right.
and there's just, you know, a big holding in one particular company. At that point, it could be enumerated in his will that any and all interest that I have in the Exxon Corporation, any subsidiaries, you know,
mm-hmm.
mergers, any other kind of, you know, asset connected to the Exxon Corporation, I then give, you know, a third, a third, and a third to my three children.
Right.
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But we need to find those kinds of circumstances. And we do see that every now and then here in the South with Coca-Cola stock
mm-hmm.
and every, you know, Duke Power, Carolina Power. There are a few, but by and large, the will needs to be more generic
yes.
in the distribution of tangible things.
Yeah. Cause how many of them have you had that had Carolina Power and Light or Wachovia on
right.
it? You know, companies
right.
that don't exist any longer.
Yeah.
So.
The structure of a will.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, the way in which we craft a will, build the document, begins with, well, client, tell me if there's anything that specifically needs to be enumerated.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something really unusual?
Right.
And maybe it is the family farm or the house or the beach house or mm-hmm. something. And then finally you get to the rest, residue, and remainder, which is everything else.
Right.
And this is where we then have a generic disposition. And when I say generic, that makes it seem like it doesn't count or it's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just that, you know, your will does not have to specifically address, you know, your $2 or $3 million account,
right,
if that's what one has, mm-hmm. okay, a client. I mean, again, those things change. Even the real property, Ben, which you brought up, which is the land and the house. I mean, if it's going directly mm-hmm. to the residuary beneficiaries, the two children 50-50, three children a third, there's really no reason to even have to particularly mention that.
Oh, okay.
And again, real property also is changing. People mm-hmm. sell out, they downsize, they retire, they move to a different property. Now, if there's something very unique about that particular property, that particular family farm or beach house or mm-hmm. something like that, then yes, we could address it. But you would be so surprised that, again, this is about the top 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our good clients come in saying, well, the house is going here and the stock is going there and
right.
the bank accounts are going here. Well, they end up going, they're all going to the same place,
yeah.
to the two children.
Right.
We do not have to specifically address those items.
Okay. We have a few minutes left in the show. We come back from this short break here with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, and Let's Talk Legal. As always, you can find the right advice at the right time by giving them a call at 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City, and also online at harvellandcollins.com, and we'll have more to come in a moment. We're looking at top 10 will questions with Cecil Harvell in from Harvell and Collins. So what else do we have?
Yeah, and this includes, by the way, cars and boats,
mm-hmm.
as we were just discussing.
Right, enumeration.
I mean, you know, we may not have that car.
Yeah.
Okay, we may go ahead and give the boat to the grandson to tootle around in before, you know, mm-hmm. before granddad happens to pass on.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what I'm saying basically, and then we will move on to the next item, is that clients, don't be surprised. Listeners, don't be surprised if your will does not specifically name your accounts, your stocks, your home. It will fall under the residuary clause,
right,
that all of my estate, wherever it's located, both real property and personal property, I hereby devise a third, a third, and a third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Next point. How many witnesses do I need, Mr. Harvell? This is a common question. And do I have to have a notary? The answer to the question is that you absolutely need two witnesses to the
mm-hmm.
will. Most lawyers are going to get three. We get three at our office to have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
But the law is going to require two. And does the signature of the witnesses have to be notarized? And the answer is that the signature does not have to be notarized to make the will legal.
Mm-hmm.
The will be legal with the two witnesses.
Right.
But if the signature is not notarized, then we're going to have to locate those witnesses at the time that the will is admitted to court. And if it is under notary,
mm-hmm.
then the will is what is known as self-proving, self-authenticating.
Right.
And the witnesses, therefore, do not have to be located.
That means the testator's signature is what's being notarized.
As well as
the witnesses.
The witnesses.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Because otherwise you're going to have updated information about where the witnesses are all the time, right? In case you need to contact them.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. Yep. So the answer to the question is that, the will needs two witnesses, and it is our recommendation that those witnesses, as well as the testator, sign in the presence of a notary,
mm-hmm.
which at that time when the signature was administered back you know, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, mm-hmm. all of those signatures, if they were under notary, they were deemed to be authentic
right.
and self-proving at the time.
Can witnesses be a beneficiary or not?
Well, that's one of the points here. So we might as well address that. No.
Mm-hmm.
A beneficiary cannot be a witness.
Right. Okay.
Okay. They can be, mm-hmm. and the will will not fail in its entirety because it does in fact have the proper number of witnesses, mm-hmm. but they would forfeit their particular inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second question, the sister question to that question is, well, can the executor be a witness?
Right.
And the answer to that question is that the executor can be a witness. We don't do it in our office, and I don't advise it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be nice to have independent witnesses other than the executor. But if you cannot get a witness other than the executor, then that will count as one of the two witnesses.
Because you want to lessen the possibility of challenges.
You do. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Again.
Maybe one more question before we finish
right.
up.
We really are out of time. I can't get through these last four or five without a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just to put some conclusion on this, I think these were, we actually got through, let's see here, we got through five of them. We got through half of them.
Yeah,
then.
There you go.
And I think they're excellent. They're excellent. And let's just review real quick. Personal items such as china and jewelry are handled through a memo. Your will should be updated about every 5 to 7 years. Don't worry if your will does not specifically address accounts, mm-hmm. bank accounts, and property. That's probably okay. You need at least two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Most lawyers will get three, and it is important that the witnesses' signatures be under notary at the time that they sign. And last but not least, have contingencies,
mm-hmm.
not only a contingent executor, backup executor, but backup heirs.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, be aware of the fact that the executor can witness the will, but the beneficiaries should not.
Okay. All right. Again, if you want to find out more, call them at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City, and harvellandcollins.com.